It'll be a very short lesson this morning. If you're visiting this morning, we do our lessons based on how the football games were on Saturday. A lot of good games yesterday from morning till night, so not much time to prepare. So short lesson. I'm just kidding. We're going to have a good time this morning. Nice of you to join with us. We're going to start off in Matthew chapter 6. Read some very familiar verses. Matthew chapter 6. I'll read a couple of verses beginning in verse number 31. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 31. Jesus says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the privilege and opportunity we have to be here this morning. And Father, we're thankful for what you've done for us, oh Lord, especially as we approach this Christmas season, Lord, just thinking how you sent your Son. And Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that he brought to us. And Father, we're also thankful for your word this morning that is that lamp to our feet and light to our path. And I pray you might help us as we look into your word to see those things, oh Lord, that you would have us to see. Make us better followers of you. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we've been for several months now taking a look at the Pharisees. Fascinating, for me anyway, how the Pharisees received more verbal spanking from Jesus than any other group. I mean, read the Bible, it's full. In Jesus' words himself, how he was always on the Pharisees. So we wanted to take a closer look on why. And we've been doing this for weeks now, and looking at the Pharisees and trying to comprehend, again, what made them so distasteful and draw the disdain of Jesus Christ. Now, we started off looking at the history of the Jewish people because that played a big part in the creation of the Pharisees. We then moved on and the impact that that had, the history had. Then we looked at the cultural impact that was happening during this time of Jesus that ushered in Jesus Christ. And now we move to the social and economic impact that was happening during that time. And the first thing that, at least for me, that stuck out in the social economy of that time was that there was a lot of poor people during the time of Jesus. I mean, Jesus speaks regularly of the poor. The message of taking care of the poor is throughout the Bible. In fact, we started off in the last couple of weeks looking at how, remember when John the Baptist was in prison and he wanted a sign that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus told him, you go back, tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, and the gospel is preached to the poor. So it was a big thing that the gospel is preached to the poor. And there's a lot of poor people during that time. And we kind of maybe taking a little rabbit trail off of the Pharisees. Richard reminded me. Thank you, Richard. Don't you always like those people to give you comments about your teachings and stuff? I'm just kidding. But Richard reminded me that, man, we're running out of Sunday school time for the year. So you better move forward. I got you, Richard. I'm going to move forward, okay? But I thought this was an important rabbit trail because we have a lot of poor people now. In our society, there's a lot of poor people. I've been to a lot of big cities just within the last year. Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco. There's a lot of poor people. You really want to see poor people, but go to Honolulu. There's a lot of poor people there. And we're not immune from it here on our tiny island of Kauai. There's a lot of poor people. And so we started to look at least in last week in Jesus' time, what were the jobs that were available for people? And what are some of the reasons we could come up with why people are poor? Because we want to identify or answer three important questions. What is our responsibility to the poor? And we looked at that 2 weeks ago. Hey, God cares for the poor, always had. And God expects his people to care for the poor and needy. Second question, this is where we started last week and we'll finish this week, is though, how do we discern who the poor and needy are and what do they truly need? And the third question I'm hoping we'll get to today, Richard, is what exactly should we do to help the poor? Because we've all, and pastors helped me out with this, we've all seen this before. Right? We've all come across this before in our work or during our playtime. That poor man begging for food. This guy actually was a member of our church. And I know for a fact he's a lazy guy that never worked. Okay? That's Anwar, our youth pastor. a Halloween get-up that he had with the youth. And he has a sign there that says, "Bet you can't hit me with a quarter." So I thought that would add some levity, but that is Anwar, so don't worry. Okay, but all joking aside, we've seen people holding signs like that, right? Asking for money, asking for food. What is our responsibility to the poor? So I want to continue on this discussion because we identified at least. And maybe some other work and skills. I thought of one more that I found in the Bible. It was bankers, money lenders, right? But this is the occupations during the Bible times, right? And compared to today, it's really not much. I mean, there would be more employment today than there was during Bible times. And a great number of these jobs were physical type of work, right? Skilled trade type of work. Okay, there wasn't many entry-level type of positions in Bible times. Unlike today, there also wasn't jobs that certain disabilities could still perform. Like a blind person in Bible times, you're very limited of employment, whereas today there's a lot that a blind person could do. Same thing with a deaf person, right? There's a lot more opportunities today. And then we discussed on what are some legitimate reasons why people would be poor and needy in Bible times, right? And we came up with this list right here, okay? Now, again, most of the stuff on that list would be very debilitating. Oh, speaking of, we're going to get to, today we're going to get to laziness, okay? And I asked Anwar to sit in today.
I got you wired, bro. You tell my name, Anwar comes up. I get
you know, you get an alert on your phone. Yeah. But, again, I mean, if you had leprosy in Bible times, you basically finish. I mean, talk about dead man walking, right? I mean, that's what you were. I mean, no one would, not only that, I mean, it's a slow and painful death, but no one would associate with you, right? Rightfully so. And if you didn't have family willing to help you, right? I mean, it's just a slow, agonizing death, right? You're going to be poor and needy, right? Same thing if you were lame, right? We talked about some other things. There was a lot of injustice during Bible times, right? They're living under foreign rule, if you will, right? They're ruled over by different nations and such. And when you're on the bottom of the totem pole, like the Jewish people were, they could do what they want to you. Come in, burn your house, close your business, take your money, tax you unfairly. So there's a lot of injustice that caused people to become poor, right? But today, I want us today to try to focus on now, right? Because a lot of these things are still here today, okay? Still items that are still happening today, okay? But we have some other things too that I think maybe were not as prevalent in Bible times. Can you think of some things that, I mean, I'm sure they were around at the time, but I believe it's more prevalent today. Billy? I think that's a good one. The family structure in our country has deteriorated, right? You get a lot of single parenting, a lot of divorce nowadays, a lot of children born out of wedlock, a lot of one-parent homes, and many times no-parent homes, right? I think that's much more prevalent now. That can lead to someone being poor and needy. Great drug and alcohol abuse and use, right? That certainly lends to a lot of people certainly becoming unemployed, right? Cannot find work, just spiraling downwards, right? That causes poor and needy. Norm? I put that under mental health. Hey, there's a lot of mental health issues. And a lot of homeless people, if you've been around them, have mental health issues. Okay, so that would be, again, I cannot say with authority that it's more prevalent today. I think, you know, certainly drug use and alcohol use, I think, would be more, abuse would be more prevalent today. But mental health issues certainly is something that would be on the top of the list. In fact, I was just reading yesterday's paper, and there was a story in the Hawaii section of the Advertiser, and I guess they had these experts, and there was two stories. One was on the homeless, how they were removing homeless structures in Oahu under the freeway and such. And then the other article was about how bad opioid abuse has become an addiction. So that's, again, right there with the drug and alcohol abuse, right? There's physical, mental, and sexual abuse on the rise, yeah? And all that comes with that, that again, can have people start spiraling downward. Yeah? And then we talked about the family, but another one linked to that is divorce, right? Divorce can bankrupt people. It can cause people to become poor and needy. Yeah, I mean, it's a rough thing. And, you know, the statistics tell us that over 50%, right? And that statistic is true for Christians as well, of marriages end in divorce. You know, again, just in today's day and time, in addition to the list that we came here, right, of reasons, legitimate reasons, why people could be ended up as being poor and needy, okay? Now I'd like to touch upon some reasons as well why people were poor and needy, not only in Bible times, but in today's day and age, because I think it's important as well. We've looked at legitimate reasons. These are not illegitimate reasons. These are other reasons, but you'll see what I mean when I say I think it's in a different category, right? First off is laziness. Laziness. There was a big problem with laziness during Bible time, and I believe there's a big problem with laziness today. A lot of reason why people are poor and needy today is not because they're afflicted necessarily with any of these things or some of the other things that we mentioned, but they're just lazy. They don't want to work. And let's look at the Bible. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot, but let's start at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. We'll just work through Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. It says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? The slacker is going to become poor. If you're not willing to work, you're going to become poor. Go to Proverbs 19:15. Proverbs 19:15. It says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Okay? Again, I mean, there's no other way to interpret this, right? Slothfulness, people who don't want to work, they'd rather just lay around, yeah? Eventually, being idle, you can suffer hunger. You can become poor and needy if you don't want to work. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Again, people can think of, the lazy person thinks of all kinds of reasons why they should not work. Right? In the Bible example here in Proverbs, because that's too cold. Too cold to plow. Well, that's fine, right? But the Bible goes on to say, you're going to end up begging in harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, look at verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Again, interesting in here that it lacks those who, what I would term as lazy or slothful, as void of understanding, right? You don't understand, again, to be able to eat, yeah, and survive, you have to work, okay? Otherwise, there's going to be dire consequences, okay? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at verse 5. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Yeah. What's he saying is, hey, the fool, again, this slothful person folds his hand together, meaning resting, not working. It's eating his own flesh because he's not going to be able to eat. Okay, so he's the one going to pay the consequence for that. Okay, we see this in the New Testament as well, that there was a problem. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Again, this is a problem in the New Testament as well. People not wanting to work. Okay? And then turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Titus chapter 1, verse 12. Says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, or meaning idle, okay? It says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Hey, again, in Bible times, all through history, and in today, there's lazy people, okay? And it's important that we recognize that. Because, again, when we look at these things, yes, there's poor and needy people, but if they're lazy, what should our response be, right? Do we clump them in as poor and needy? Those who are lazy and those who are lame or orphan or widowed or had calamities on them. Is that the same, right? They're poor and needy. Are they the same? And we're going to look at that. So we know that there is laziness that causes people to be poor and needy. The other thing that was common, I think, in Bible times, throughout history, and in today, is people become poor and needy. We could call it moral foolishness or self-indulgences or just plain poor decisions. People become poor and needy. We see that in Luke chapter 15, right? Luke chapter 15, we all know this story of the prodigal son, right? In verse number 13, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Hey, there's a lot of people that become poor and needy because of the same thing. They waste what they have on riotous living. Okay? No doubt about it. We all know of people like that, right? And it's not only, you know, necessarily immorality, right? But drugs cost money for people to get drugs, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. Alcohol costs a lot of money, okay? There's a lot of people who live beyond their means, right? With the, you remember the phrase, I don't know if it's still used, but I used to hear it, keeping up with the Joneses, right? Trying, you got to have everything new. That's right. Prime rib taste on a hot dog budget, right? And they get into trouble that way, right? Misuse of credit cards, right? Gambling. There's a lot of things, right? In fact, look at Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 17. It says it pretty plain here. Verse 17, Proverbs 21, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." Okay? "He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Man, scripture tells you plainly, right? Again, these types of indulgences, poor decisions, this moral foolishness can cause people to end up poor. And again, the question, are they lumped in here with the other poor and needy? What is our obligation? What is the expectation of us as believers? Right? I've told you now for a couple weeks how I struggle with dealing with the poor. I really do. Part of it, you know, Billy and I talk about it all the time, but part of it is, hey, I work hard every day for years. I mean, since I was 14 years old, I've been working. Okay? Many times more than one job. There's never been a time period that I didn't have a job. As much as, it's not that I love getting up early and love going to work. It had to be done, right? Got to do it. A man's got to do what a man got to do, or a woman's got to do what a woman got to do. You get married, that responsibility jumps, right? You get kids even more now, right? Responsibility, you got to do it, right? And I told Billy, my struggle is, I've done that now, right, for over 35 years. Why should I have to take my money to support people who make poor decisions, don't want to work, are out on drugs and alcohol? I mean, I struggle with it. But I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to help people. I want to be a light and testimony to people. But I do struggle. Hey, one of my simple pleasures, many of you notice, is I love to read the paper in the morning. Regular hard print paper. Just about every morning. Billy, she doesn't, before she used to think I was crazy, yeah? But every morning, because I have a home office base, every morning at about 7:30, I like to say I take my break from work. I drive down from Kapahi, usually go to McDonald's, get a Diet Coke, and I read The Garden Island. Takes me all of 2 minutes. And then and then I read the Honolulu Advertiser, okay, Star Bulletin, whatever you want to call it. Star Advertiser, right, is what it's called now. But that's just something I like to do, okay? But if you go to McDonald's, not the Lihui one anymore. We talked about that last week. But if you go to the Kapa McDonald's, more than likely, if you go during that time, you can see a bunch of homeless people in there, okay? A lot of times they're with their sleeping bags, okay? Dirty clothes, look filthy, look ragged, okay? But they all have little tablets and phones, and they're using the McDonald's free Wi-Fi there, okay? Am I supposed to have compassion on that, right? If they ask me for money, am I supposed to give them money? I'm just telling you what I struggle with. I don't know if there's really any answers. Don't look to me for the answers, okay? Okay? I don't know if there's any answers, but I know that to be true. I know someone who used to come to this church who lives that lifestyle now. Don't work, sleeps any place, I guess. They buy stuff from McDonald's, the value menu. I don't know where they're getting their money. You know what I mean? But they do buy stuff from McDonald's. But again, they're in this predicament. I can only suppose they're happy with that life, right? Are we expected to help them? So that's it. Laziness is a big part. Moral foolishness, so self-indulgences, poor decisions, that's another part of being poor and needy. And then there's another one. There's another one. Pride. Pride. We got Christmas coming up. I don't know if you like Christmas movies, but I like Christmas movies. I like Christmas Vacation. I'm not doing a commercial for it, okay? You choose. If you don't watch it, that's fine. I like it. It makes me laugh. But there's a part in Christmas Vacation, and you know Clark Griswold. Right, and his brother-in-law Eddie comes with his Winnebago. He pulls up with his beat-up Winnebago, and Clark finds out that they're not buying their kids. They got two kids. They're not buying their kids any presents for Christmas. So Clark, speaking of Eddie, says, and his wife, how can they have nothing for their children? And Clark's wife Ellen says, well, he's been out of work for close to 7 years. And Clark says, in 7 years, he couldn't find a job? And his wife says, Catherine says he's been holding out for a management position. Hey, to me, that best represents the pride that people have. You know? I was sharing with the trustees yesterday how, you know, I've really been blessed in my life when it comes to work. I mean, I've gotten a lot of lucky. Well, not lucky. I mean, we say lucky breaks. I know God was in it, yeah? But, you know, a lot of things that God maneuvered to help me get where I'm at today. But in all my career, from when I was 14 all the way to now, I've never lost a job. Never been laid off, fired. I've always worked, okay? But a lot of people not that fortunate. I mean, there's a lot of people. We've just seen here in the islands, Island Air closed, right? A couple hundred people laid off. Can you imagine that during the holidays? I mean, I can only imagine what that must be like, right? Imagine if you're supporting your family and you got a mortgage and your bills and car payments and insurance and health care. You get Christmas coming and then you get called in, you're laid off. I can only imagine the stress that must put on someone, right? I mean, especially, I don't know, ladies, I'm not discounting you. I can only speak, though, as a man. Man, that would be devastating, right? The inability to provide for your family. Okay. And a lot of people face that, and that's real. And that's, I would say, legitimate. When you talk about calamities, I think there's work calamities as well, right? And we talked about how, hey, if you're a fisherman in Bible times, you know, it's called fishing, not catching, right? If you didn't catch fish, you're in trouble, right? Same thing in today's day and age. Hey, if you get laid off for whatever reason, man, it's devastating. But here's where the pride comes in, because I've seen it happen personally. People too proud to take some of the jobs that are available. Yeah. I mean, we see it in the younger generation for sure. I mean, there's a generation coming up now, and I deal with this every day, but hey, they don't want to work McDonald's. They don't want to work Jack in a Box or Burger King. That's beneath them. Okay? They want to be CEO of the companies. Right? That's what they want. Yeah, holding out for the management position, right? Hey, I can tell you this, although I've never been in that position, and I told Billy this, I know this without a doubt, if I got laid off within that week, I would be working someplace. Even if it had to be McDonald's while I look for something else, yeah? Because you can always look at night and stuff, but I would go work someplace, yeah? There's a lot of people refuse to work because they feel they cannot find the job that they deserve, right? Or the pay that they think they should get. And what kills me is a lot of them, they got no skills, no trade, nothing. But they just think they're worth a whole lot of money. I used to tease my sons about this all the time, you know? Because they didn't want it. They felt, again, it's a generational thing. They didn't want to work McDonald's. Hey, my first job was at McDonald's. And I'm proud to say that. Taught me a lot of good skills, okay? But I worked McDonald's. Billy worked at Wendy's, yeah? And then at a grocery store. I worked at a horse ranch shoveling manure. Hey, work is good. There's a lot of people that won't work because of their pride, yeah? So the question then becomes, again, that we struggle to answer, which is the important one, is what exactly should we do to help the poor? And I think that's, again, I don't have solid answers for you, okay? I think you have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. I think you got to pray. A lot of it is about if you can find out about individuals, okay? But I think there's some solid principles, at least that I'm going to apply when it comes to helping the poor. Number one is, salvation is the true need that they have. Okay? We always have to remember that. Whether they're lazy or have made poor decisions or prideful or legitimate reasons for being poor, salvation is still the true need. Right? Matthew chapter 6, we started there this morning, but look at it again. I mean, very interesting choice of words, right, that Jesus used. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, yes, they may have a need for food or money or help in different ways, but the most important need, regardless, is salvation. Amen. Okay, we have to keep that in mind when we're looking to help people out. Yes, you know, we should be looking to help and meet their needs, but salvation is still the greatest need, right? Remember, we looked at the story when Jesus fed the 5,000, how the next day after that, there was a crowd following Jesus. And Jesus told him, hey, you're not following me because you seek me. You seek the bread. You're looking to eat. And Jesus didn't make bread for them, right? He told them, hey, I am the bread of life. Get this bread. Jesus said, accept me. Yeah, that's your true need. Hey, we got to remember that. Other passage of scripture, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he what? Gain the whole world, lose his own soul, right? What's going to profit him? We got to remember, salvation is still the true need that they have. Second principle, We should always meet the needs of children and the elderly. Okay? Children are involved in all these things and they're innocent of it. Even with the people who are lazy, right? If the parents are lazy or poor decisions or moral foolishness or pride, the children suffer, right? Hey, we should always look to help children. In James chapter 1, you know the scripture, but again, I think it applies in James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hey, when he's talking about the widows, again, it was those ladies whose husbands had deceased that they couldn't provide for themselves. Remember, Bible times was a lot different than today's day and age, okay? If you were without a husband, a widow, again, that was almost a kiss of death for you, yeah? There wasn't much employment that you could find during that time, okay? So if you didn't have family or people to help you, very difficult. Hey, we should always, if children or elderly are in need, we should always seek to help, okay? And then lastly, and here comes, again, I don't think there's any set formula, right? Help the poor and the needy, not the lazy, proud, or greedy. Okay? Help the true poor and the needy, not the lazy, proud, or greedy. Okay? And that's where it's going to take some discernment, right? Hey, I can remember I was not a good student in school. I went to Kapaa Elementary School. I was not a good student. I haven't done it in a long time, but several years ago, I dug out some of my old boxes and stuff, and my mom had kept my old report cards from elementary school. And back when I went to school was when, you know, the teachers still could pull your ear, pinch you, you know what I mean? And if they called your parents, man, you're in big trouble, man. My dad wasn't a Christian at that time, but there was one verse I know he knows, the spare not the rod, yeah? Okay? he knew that one well. But when I went to school, and I'm reading these report cards that I had when I was in elementary school, one of the teachers in her wisdom had put it this way. Harold seems to spend most of his time in class trying not to work. Okay, hey, there's people out there spending most of their time trying not to work. I don't think we help. I don't think we help the lazy. Now you cannot always determine that, but I do feel, and I know we're going to talk about this later as trustees and with pastor and such. But I do think there should be some qualifiers because pastor guys get calls just about every week from poor and needy, wanting help, wanting money. Yeah. Hey, I think we should have some qualifiers in there. I think we should help, right? If someone calls and need help, but we should tell them, hey, listen. Come clear this hill over here for us, and we'll pay you for it. Because if you got nothing else to do, and we want to help, but you got to work, right? There's no freebies, okay? That should be a qualifier. You'll be surprised how many people not willing to do that. Yeah. There's a lot of people as well that are on drugs, right, or alcohol addiction. Hey, even if you give them money for food, whatever other monies they have, they're going to use for their addiction. We have to try to understand and meet the true needs that people have. If a person is lazy, but he doesn't have food, right, and doesn't have money, you giving him money is not helping him. It's not helping meet his true need. You're enabling him, okay? Same thing with the person on drugs and alcohol, right? The true need for the lazy person is to try to get motivated to go back to work. The need of the drug and the one addicted on drugs or alcohol is to get help for that addiction. Yeah, get over that because that's what's causing you to be poor and needy. Okay? We have to try again in truly helping them. Throwing money and food isn't necessarily truly helping. And I know it's hard. That's why I said there's no firm rules on this, okay? But I think we have to make sure that we're not enabling and rewarding laziness, poor decisions, moral foolishness, right? We have to make sure, because that's not meeting their need. And again, I think we turn to Jesus as the example. Jesus had the power, the ability to send manna from heaven to feed these people. He could have turned rocks to bread. He could have done it. Yeah? He had that ability. He could have done it, but he didn't. Right? He told him, you're seeking me not because you want me, but because you just want the bread. Hey, God loves and cares for the poor and needy. He wants us to care for the poor and needy, but we have to try to discern who truly is the poor and needy. Lastly, though, because that's not always an easy thing to do, right? When you don't know people and such. And I've said it before, it's best for us to err on the side of grace. If you give someone who's lazy money to get food, you're not going to get punished for that, right? Especially if you hand them a track with it, it's only money, right? It's only money. It's best for us to err on the side of grace. God wants us to meet people's true needs, okay? So I hope those principles will help you. I'm going to try to have it help me when I'm dealing with this issue of how do we truly help the poor and the needy. Because we're going to continue in our study with the Pharisees, but we can see through scriptures how the Pharisees had issues with dealing with certain people groups. Okay, and I think it's because if you look at, again, the Bible times, if you had leprosy and such, the Pharisees would view you that you were cursed, that you did something wrong. If you were born lame or blind, it's because somebody sinned. Yeah, that's how they viewed it. So you were unclean just because of those things. Again, I think that we know that that's not true. But I think, again, God wants us to help the true poor and needy, especially if we have the ability to help. We're going to go ahead and dismiss in prayer, and our church service is going to start in about 10 minutes. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word, and God, that we can use as a guide and to help us, Lord. All of us want to do what we can to help the poor and the needy. For you've blessed us, you've given us so much, Father, and we truly do want to help. And I pray you might help us, that your Holy Spirit guide us, O Lord, that we might do what is right. Again, that we might be a witness and a testimony through our love and through our actions. Now, Father, I ask you might bless the service to follow. Be with Pastor. Use him in a great and mighty way. We look forward to hearing from you again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.